everybody. Welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies, working with transforming grief into its healthy role, which works with releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing, making space, and all of that good stuff to supportively clear any congestion. I was kind of tuning into it in my yoga practice earlier this morning before I hopped up onto the call. Kind of have a tight turnaround some Wednesday mornings, depending upon that all. And if you missed me before the recording started, I was just sharing that I kind of like rocked in today's call kind of hot because Spotify was also having some issues. So it's been a tighter than usual turnaround. But anyways, throughout all of that, I was still really feeling this connection to a particular embodiment, or in my body, how I was sensing it anyways, was this bone grief. So it feels like we're going like literally to the bone, to the ancestral realm. And it feels like there's these billowing smoke clouds kind of like unfolding and rolling through. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out in today's session, but it feels very on point with how often, anyways, the energy of grief feels in my system, in my body. Excuse me. And as I was experiencing that in what felt like almost like full technicolor, visual information at some point earlier in my day, and well, actually various points, it felt like also there was this really willingness to release it, really willingness to be met, and really willingness to move through that territory. So it's like it's here, we're ready, let's do this. So that's a really beautiful sign. So not a stagnant grief, but a grief that's ready to be seen and heard and acknowledged. So on that note, I'm going to invite you to begin here today by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in, and to really just let it rumble all the way through, letting it rumble through your very bones. Okay. As we go into the bones, I invite you to literally just offer your continuous compassion as I feel like we're centering our session today already within that. You may even do that by means of breathing here and now into your bones as I offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for the opportunity to be amongst all of my friends and their desires for today's intentions and further sessions. Thank you to their families, their ancestors, their lineages, and all that they serve in this world. Thank you to the earth that holds us as we journey today. The sky above, giving us spaciousness to roll on through, reminding us what it is to have expansive vastness, availability, within our souls, within our bodies, within our minds, and our spirits. And thank you to the very fire that animates us and yet connects us to source, to spirit, to burn away all that no longer serves through our action. And thank you to the water that flows through us, connecting our consciousness, our emotions, and allowing us to be fluid in our expressions, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our state of being. And thank you, thank you, thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, to all those that have come before us, that have nourished and created the conditions for our very existence. Thank you for your care and your stewardship and your kindness. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. Okay, and as we start off today's session, we're actually connecting the very bones of your entire skeletal system and all that they carry. The entire ancestral realm connection seems quite strong today, as I mentioned earlier as well. We're linking it through to the heart, working on stabilizing and creating a harmonious connection that's ongoingly stable to satisfy what feels like grief and what feels like also a sense of relief that carries within it its own confusion. It's like, how is there relief? How, although there's this grief and there's this confusion around even the relief that's there within the ancestral field. So it's interesting. They're having a hard time maybe experiencing resolution from some of the work that we've been stirring up throughout, it looks like this whole year. This whole year. So we're actually working with the grief sessions for every one of our rounds. And we're integrating, we're linking all of those through to the skeletal system and the heart connection. And we're just reminding basically the ancestral realm that this is, it's here for its harmonization, it's here for its digestion, it's here for it to be embodied, not just a concept to be thought of, but that it's welcome to actually rest easy within it. Literally resting their bones easy within the peacefulness of just having been let go of having been tended to in a way that's supportive for their very nature. In other words, allowing them to feel the weight of the grief of their absence. And this somehow becomes its own form of love. For as we grieve, it shows the depth of care, the depth of love we have had for that which has been lost. It's been said that grief and love are sisters. So as we welcome this grief to be here, in connection with the hearts, it's no mistake that these two energies are working synchronistically to allow for, again, that peaceful ancestral, pardon me, allowing for peace to be felt within the ancestral realm through the heart of that which lives on in a way that allows them to take solace. Not because you're stuck trying to replicate their patterns, but more so because they're resting in more ease now. And it's like they can cheer on or applaud the uniqueness of how it is you're living. Almost in a way they can acknowledge, like, huh, I wouldn't have thought that, but that's kind of creative, that's kind of cool. And we might even reimagine that the people that we used to know that have had their expressions with their personalities here on Earth somehow transmute in ways that actually become deeply aligned with the essence of spirit themselves. So they go through their own transformational process, and sometimes our memory of that gets a little bit sticky, and we remember them as they were versus remembering as they actually currently are. Just honoring that they've actually taken that journey and they've actually had a fair amount of peacefulness just in that in that journey. And perhaps the only one hanging on to what seemed to be who that person was before they passed on and died is all the other ancestors that might still be living, including yourselves. And it just perpetuates in a way, it's its own way of perpetuating cycles of pain, suffering, even, dare I say, at times, abuse, because we may have learned certain ways of being that are not necessarily super healthy to be replicated. And that becomes its own internal guidance system that we honor out of a sense of loyalty. So, long story short, we're gonna work with a Sidri at this interconnection between bones and hearts. And we're looking at supporting your system and being able to relinquish, let go of any old memories of how it is that used to be and replace it with the purest essence of what's actually truly there, which is that of spirits. We might even define it as the consciousness of holy grief. And the Sidri runs, it's running for the next 7 days, so until we meet again. And in that integration session next week, we'll be doing a bit of breath work as well as body talk. And that's actually going to be like the perfect meeting spot for that grief of the to be transmuted through the breath practice and then the heart to be met through the body talk expression. So it's like this part needs to go for a week and it'll be continued in the integration session following it. So it's Sidri as it runs, starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help us to heal on all levels. In particular, the nervous system and the immune system seem to be implicated. And as we work with this, also bringing in the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection, as well as hydration. Helping cells to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that no longer serve the system. Followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter of what no longer needs to be here and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Followed by all the R's, reevaluation. Recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up the possibilities where it may seem like there is none before. Integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay, so cool. And then we're working with connecting the consciousness of inspiration through to the entire bones and the ancestral realm. Almost like the ancestors are getting their needs met of feeling inspired by simply getting to witness and take in and observe life through you. Through you. And it's actually connecting into and defined as well by a permission statement. And the words are powerful. I live freely through you. What I see is relinquishing again any sort of grippiness around you should do it this way, you need to do it that way, and more a sense of. You get to do it how you want to do it, and I'm along for the ride to take it in through your system. And for all of your senses, the perceiving that, running as well the permission that's meeting that through the energy of, I am no longer beholden. And then we're releasing the consciousness of feeling trapped, on whatever level of awareness that you may have perceived that. And it's like the image I have is that like of a bear trap that traps like a leg, or like an animal trap that traps like the leg. But it's like big enough for a bare leg, and essentially just starving to death in agony, and being deprived of nourishment and feeling trapped with the deprivation of nourishment. And as that releases, it's ending that cycle, ending the cycle for you and the ancestors that felt that they had to deprive themselves of nourishment in order to build, in order to grow, in order to survive, in order to get ahead. And all of that did was cost them their actual life, their vitality, their expression, when it wasn't being applied well, when it was being applied from a sense of too much, shall we say, or coming from a place of driving forward, pushing forward when there wasn't the resources to do it. Is also strongly, in fact, maybe even stronger in the mix here. We're unhooking the belief system that self-deprivation is somehow noble and something to be prideful about. Like that's how you get someone to be proud of you, by depriving yourself. And then we're unhooking that through the heart space. Running a cellular repair here through the family lines, going back a fair ways. 24 generations down dad's side. Wow. Okay, just had to sit with that and verify. Yeah, 24 generations down dad's side. And we're simultaneously, at the same time as that, for that pattern, running consciousness big four, that deprivation is again something to be proud of. And as we release that through all levels of consciousness, linking it through to the brain initially for awareness, and then to heart for surrender, release, letting go, resolution, we're then going to link it to the crown for transcendence. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay, nice. With that, I felt like a really deep surrender into harmony within the particular left side of the heart, the feminine side of the heart. And the right side of the heart is like I'm getting there. I'm just taking my time getting there. So sweet to see. Take all the time you need. Is my response that to that energy. And I really do mean that, like moving at the trace, moving at the pace of trust, or the trace of pace, apparently, is what I was trying to say there originally. Moving at the pace of trust is supportive to the system in multiple ways. And many of us are actually very far removed from what it is to actually move at the pace of trust. So feel free to explore that as much or as little as you like in the coming days. That may even be an ongoing homework practice that becomes, well, for myself anyways, it's been a how many years has it been? I want to say at least a decade. And I'm sorting out what that actually really means and then screwing it up and getting it wrong and going like, okay, I'll try again. And coming back and back and back again to it. So it's something that I am very much am dancing with myself. So I invite you to dance with it too, if that calls to you. And that's just a bit of an aside. I was just waiting for the session to unfold, and it's going into the next piece now. We're actually linking the left upper chest region that was sort of like protecting the heart through to the low back, through to the low back and the hip, both hips. Okay, and it's unhooking a foundation of, I'm going to say, false kindness or false love or the fake sort of love that, people put on, like the happy face. They're not really feeling all that happy, but they're just doing it because that's what they think needs to get done, and that's their way of sort of coping to make it through. And we're essentially unhooking a series of false things like that, including false kindness, false love, false compassion, false peace, false calmness, and false contentment. It's almost like it wasn't like false to the extent that you were doing it at the time, but it's actually still nonetheless false. It's not like you were, let me say that better. It's not like you were intentionally doing something that was false. It just was like that was the best that was available given the role models of the ancestral realm of what they could tap into. And as that falls away, it's actually opening up. I actually see it as opening up like a birth canal to being birthed into a truer essence of all of those qualities. And as it gets rebirthed into the new, it's taking out any need to be performative with the love, the care, the peace, the contentment, the calm, the kindness. I missed one, but whatever that other one was. And then I'm gonna not strain my brain to try to remember that through menopause right now. That's gonna be my way of not pushing through or being overly working and landing in a place of truer, maybe compassionate kindness in this moment. Allowing that to be as it is. It's such a simple thing, yet it takes so many other words and actions to somehow unpack that, to live into it. And as we support your system in touching in on this deeper layer of allowing things to be there as they are, and the peaceful transmutation that just somehow comes through acceptance in these ways, we're running one more cellular repair. Also through the family lines on dad's side. We're going back 4 generations, so not as far. And it's on the emotional frequency of grief. I'm actually repairing any sort of false ideas of what we think grief is. Grief has its own like field of projection and false projection and misunderstandings and confusions galore all over it. So trying to wade our way through what even that word means can take an entire honestly, scholars do, spend an entire lifetime truly just unpacking what that actually is. And not that I've academically pursued it, but it's been something that I've contemplated richly since I want to say the age of 8, so for about just shy of 4 decades. And in this moment, grief may just be nothing more than its own awareness point that something is changing. And through that, presenting a portal into something new to arrive. So perhaps grief is just simply the doorway through which new beginnings arrive on the back and are fortified by the decay of the old. And as that decay of the old rots away, it provides the nutrition, the nutrients. So in essence, rotting kind of gets a bad rap sometimes. Sometimes we actually need to let things rot in order to actually decay to dissolve, to die away, to break away in order for the new fertile soil to certainly be supportive to what's to come. And without a fuller decay, the soil might not be as certain, and it may propagate ongoing cycles of confusion or falsified love, etc. And that's going to happen to a degree regardless. But if we rush the process of grief, it happens more than it needs to, and it can create a burnout or a wear and tear on us because we're actually not working with it. We're working kind of against it as we try to control its essence. Like, feel free to say all these words back to me when I need to hear them too, is sort of my silent prayer right now. And as we work with this, linking into the heart space, linking into the place of not just harmony, but place where we find dignity, respect, honor, a place where we find connection with everyone and everything. I'm going to even say it's a place where differences fall apart and the similarities are seen as more profoundly pervasive, and there's an awareness of them being even more here. We're linking that through to the 12th house, house of releasing, surrendering, allowing, making space, house of the liver meridian, which supports the release of toxic karmic patterns. And here, on the other side of releasing any, I'm going to say stagnation, there's actually new activity available within this liver. So I'm seeing it as like the previous rounds releasing the stagnant energy. And the liver now is almost like a phoenix rising from the ashes and allowing for that transcendence through in the fire. Like, fire doesn't actually burn me. Fire supports me in coming fully alive and fully expansive and fully expressive. There's like this powerful image that I think of with the phoenix of having transcended the false idea that fire is here to somehow harm you. But perhaps it's just here to fortify and shape as the burning happens in our lives, as the burning happens through our hot flashes, quite frankly. Or anything else, there's the potential for something old to be burned away. And for you to learn how to walk through the fire of your own soul, your own life. And as that changes, so too does the very foundation. And as this began a while back, through the connection with hearts and low back, hips. Knowing that this is creates the hips in particular create the foundation, the low back creates what we're valuing. I invite you to slow down and be with anything that might actually be decaying, even though it might really be kind of shitty and kind of suck and kind of hurt. Knowing that on the other side of it, there is a new foundation to rise from that will be deeply valuable and alignment with you. And I don't know what it looks like, dear one, but I do know you have what you need to get through this time. And it's like that rhythm, that pattern that was established as you move through the entire birth canal is impacting how it is you're moving through this entire process of life right now. How is it you're entering into something new? What's the portal like that you're moving through, this grief portal? And what is it you've been leaving behind that might also not have been pleasant, but it was something that you were tending to for your security, your safety. And now it's like, that actually isn't doing it for me anymore. I'm out of room. I need to expand. I'm out of resources. I need to go elsewhere. I need to undertake a journey, and I'm not even sure what to do or how to get there. But there's something that's pulling me to do just that. And the thing about that is that if we think about doing that ourselves in our adult world with all of our lives and all of our important things that we tend to and take care of, imagine like going like, well, we're done here, letting it all whoosh, drop away and entering some foreign unknown realm that will look nothing like the one you've been in. So we think about it from baby's perspective. That's what they've done. And they've done it not because there is a plan or a 401k or sufficient, accounting of what was needed for the journey. It was done purely on instincts. And as the system moves through this birth canal and instinct alone, there's a deepening into trust, a deepening into that guidance system. And we kind of lose that when we get into our maybe adulthood and we begin to again proclaim, I know what we should do here. We should X, Y, Z, which is based on all the conditioning and the learning and not the natural instinct that you were born with, baby. So I invite you to locate that natural instinct. I invite you to bring it to mind in your imagination. Or just simply remembering that, like, hey, I actually had that. I'm actually still wired for that today. It just got cluttered up and confused with a whole bunch of other things that I thought had to happen. And as we relinquish this, it's also an unhooking I see of, like, a really, quite frankly, dramatic unhooking of control from the crown of the head down the back body in through the diaphragm, continuing down the back body through that low back. And unhooking through the hips themselves. So as we unhook the control, and there's a natural instinct to honor your foundation and what's valuable for your progression in this life that may or may not have anything to do with what you learned you should be doing to hold one's life together. In fact, you might necessarily need that to, as we were saying earlier, fall apart or decay in order to create the fertile abundance of what you're stepping into. We're linking that all into the eighth house, which is very much about death, rebirth, and allowing for that to be a regenerative activity. So I'm thinking as I'm doing this about the function of grief and driving us into that and just feeling really grateful for grief energy to supportively allow us to enter that death, birth, regeneration cycle that so gracefully rides on its back. That sometimes I forget to say thank you because I'm in the midst of thinking all that pain and suffering is more important to hang on to. And as I release that, I'm going to invite you to do the same. And we're also unhooking any particular shame around feeling stuck, shame around feeling stuck from the left heart, left skull, back of skull in particular at the base. As well as the base of the, essentially like the jaw, lower jaw, and the chin. And then we're linking that into the foundation of the overall right hip. And the, the pelvic bowl, almost like the bed that I was standing on. And as I tune into it, I'm actually seeing some old layers of, I'm going to say functional freeze. I'll unpack that word in just a minute. Seeing old layers of functional freeze falling apart and decaying and actually going through that very cycle of turning around into a reborn, regenerated state, not just for you, but with the ancestors loosening their hold. It's like this is now possible to allow for this to happen. And as the ancestors were releasing their hold, it also releases the functional freeze pattern from being so necessarily held on to that it was becoming almost a form of inflicted self-violence that was learned. So as we unhook the pattern of self-violence and needing to inflict that in order to survive from our very bones, and as I unpack this phrase in just a moment, that functional freeze in the same time, we're linking it through to the solar plexus chakra for consciousness of digestion, as well as stepping into your power. Okay, back to functional freeze. Sometimes I hit points where my brain wants to speak to two things at the same time, and then I kind of, if I lose the trail of one, I may not pick it up again. So I just need to fully finish that off before I came back to the functional freeze explanation. So thank you for your patience in that. The functional freeze part here, It's essentially working with the understanding that you're still able to function your lives ordinarily, but you're doing it from a place of essentially not just rigidity, but as the name implies, frozenness. Like to the point where it's like you can still function, but your system is also locked into one particular pattern that's completely stagnant, and it's just not shifting no matter what. And there was like a few layers of those, and somehow just thank you, Grace, on the back of that integration of it all began to resolve in some way, and there's a reconciliation point arising. And I honestly don't remember when Easter is. I think it's coming up, but it's carrying with it. Forgive me if this is a little bit too on point for those of you that don't necessarily follow that particular form of religion or Catholicism or Christianity or whatever the various different words here could be. But there's this sense of like being resurrected, of literally like rising from the dead. Not And forgive me, I'm not being blasphemous either here. I'm not like, in the way that was done in directly as the story goes in the Bible, but more metaphorically speaking, with that same understanding. And perhaps that's what these stories were meant to do, was to point to the metaphorical teaching of it all. Perhaps it wasn't as literal. That's rich coming from someone who takes things quite literally. But the metaphor of that, a resurrection is what we're working with here. And it's like, it's not just like a simple resurrection. I think that's why it's coming in with the imagery that it did of Easter and the story of that resurrection. But it's coming in with a gravity, like a sense of, relatively speaking, of how magnanimous this has the opportunity to be. And it's coming with a very dramatic phrase. And the words here are, you're standing at the threshold of your resurrection. You're standing at the threshold of your resurrection, always, in all ways. And as that frozen energy begins to release, there's actually opportunity to gracefully move, to come back to life. And for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, that's perhaps what this time of spring is actually meant to remind us of, is what it is to resurrect, what it is to come alive, what it is to re-inhabit. Not just the inner cave of which we may have been hibernating in, but to resurrect and come alive into the spaciousness of all of the bounty and the blessings and the beauty that this world holds, which we can't access if we're hidden away. And to support that, we're doing one emotional release of grief from the right side of your heart, which has been sort of just this, like, a little bit of timidity, tentativeness. That's also carried within the gallbladder and the gallbladder meridian, almost like it was giving a false sense of stability to play small. And as we unhook that through these areas, we're actually running another surgery with it, but it's a short one. It's only for 3 days. The first day we'll move through the guna. I'm going to talk about gunas in a minute. The guna of Tamas, which is about like the physical realm. The second day is more of the sattvic realm, or pardon, not sattvic, rajas, rajasic realm, which is about movement. And the third realm, sattvic, which is about transcendence. And I know the story in Christianity goes with the 3 days and then rising again. And in this way, the 3 days through the three gunas are being honored in a different way. So in Ayurvedic science, the gunas represent the three stages that everything progresses through, kind of like five element theory does in Chinese medicine, or four element theory might in the more indigenous realms. In the Ayurvedic science, the three, that's only three realms, are the tamasic, which is that of the body, in terms of like the physical material of it. Rajasic is how things actionably move through it all, including your blood, including your air, including your muscles, including animation in general. And the sattvic is that of recognizing that you're actually something beyond the body and its capacity to be animated. You're actually something beyond even your own animation. And recognizing the full scope of consciousness, of spirit, of essence, and holding that potential to be attained in one's lifetime. And as we supportively allow the system to move through this in this 3-day Sidri, I'm thinking of the metaphor of it sporting again so beautifully, the energy of coming fully alive and resurrecting. And that's the story that's in my bones, because that was the story that was of my ancestors and their ancestors and the ancestors before them and many generations. And your ancestors might have different stories, so forgive me if I don't speak to them as directly. I'm feeling the ache of that shortcoming on me right now. I'm feeling the ache of being at a loss around not knowing the history and as deeply as others may. And still pointing, nonetheless, pointing with all that I can as we take away the story to the truest essences of the principles of resurrection, of coming alive and being reborn within you, within the true essence of the fullness of who you really are. I'm going to tap this out here. I invite you to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that a slow, deep breath. Followed by two more slow, deep breaths. Okay, then it's coming to highlight the awareness of that cycle of of death, decay. Excuse me. Of death and decay, and then rising into the life force energy out of that fertile nourishment that was left behind from the decay, and stepping into that whole cycle. Excuse me, my gosh. Stepping into that whole cycle becomes its own form of acceptance, as well as appreciation for sacrifice. So, if you've ever felt, my gosh, you've ever felt, excuse me, the sense of that whole cycle and all that's dying away and decaying was something that was actually a form of sacrifice of something. Or whatever that was, that sacrifice, becomes again the nourishment for something new to grow and evolve from. And that as it's appreciated, as we appreciate the beauty of that, we actually appreciate the sacrifices that came for us to be alive, and there becomes a replication of being able to appreciate sacrifice in all directions, whether it's ours or others. But if we look at that theme of appreciation of sacrifice and appreciating what's been lost by honoring the process of grief and by honoring what we're stepping into, we're appreciating and honoring the sacrifice and allowing it to be the fuel that it was meant to be for new life. Even through the pain, the hurts, the suffering of all that was lost. We might even whisper in this moment, like a little thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for allowing whatever's died away. Thank you to you, and thank you for allowing this new to be here right now as it is. As we step into gratitude and appreciation of sacrifice, that begins to change how it is we overfunction, overdo, over offer ourselves in sacrificial ways that may or may not actually be aligned or useful or intentionally used for rebirth. And as we do that, as that gets reevaluated, we actually save ourselves excessive amounts of unnecessary grief for not having what we've been offering honored by others. If I could title this session, I'm just aware of the headline now. But if I could go back in time, I might title this like the death of a people pleaser and its story. The death of a people pleaser and its story. And as we honor again the sacrifice of what's come within our own systems or what's been sacrificed by others that have offered us their best in order for us to be alive. As we appreciate that and we honor it, we also appreciate what's here because of it. And this may just be the antidote to feeling entitled. This may just be the antidote to feeling any sense of, well, how come they did this to me? Victimhood. Any antidote to the blame that goes hand in hand with victimhood. As I'm witnessing the people pleasing playing its own part within the cycle, as we've touched in on it, it feels like it's been a fairly big theme throughout. I want to say actually most of like the year here and there. It wasn't like the focal point, but it came up a fair amount this year. It's like there's something coming through in a very different way that doesn't actually need to honor those old rhythms of forcing yourself, pushing yourself to sacrifice. And within that, there's actually the capacity to potentially even say, like, that's not for me. No. And also a capacity for boundaries to be here. And boundaries are often, it feels like, one of the most confusing subject matters there are out there. Because a lot of the teachings around them hold a certain amount of defensiveness, like don't allow that, they're going to take advantage of you if you do that. This is a fight, you got to like work hard, you got to be kind of like bitchy about it too, and like tell them how you feel and be righteous about it. There's all that messaging that's overlaid in it. And what if boundaries were actually a messaging to let people know what you wanted more of? What if boundaries were just like an opportunity for people to then learn, like, hey, this is what they need. This is what works well for them. And what if it didn't always have to involve, and it does at times, words, but there's also an energetic component to it. And as you enhance that through, as we link this through to your Wei Qi, on the other side of the people pleasing that's been fading into the ethers in layers, disappears, there's actually room for the Wei Qi to be It's a natural, healthy, protective energy layer that surrounds us all, but to a fuller capacity. It's lighter, it's brighter, it's fuller. And this boundary, this Wei Qi, is how we process information clearly and how we communicate with ease energetically, how we synthesize what's happening in our world, and how we stay protected without you having to do anything specific about it other than to drop away the belief system of your own thought processes. Because that's the only thing that gets in the way of the Wei Qi being able to function naturally and healthily. And it's linking into the permission statement, and the words here are simply, I have nothing to uphold. I have nothing to uphold. I have nothing to uphold. And in this way, we actually deepen into the trust and the feel of being supported. If we're so busy holding ourselves up, we can actually lean into the support that's actually here in our world, in our environments. I invite you in this moment to imagine that you could lean against like a boulder so big it's the size of you. So you'd actually easily just lean against it and feel that support through your spine, through your body. And as you drinking it in with the fullest awareness of your authentic energy being expressed. As one of our members, Erica, has so thoughtfully put into the chat feature here, authenticity is indeed true protection. So as you lean into the full essence of you, with the vulnerability of your heart opening up to receive as you potentially lay back on this boulder, or whatever it is that's behind you. If you don't like the boulder, you could have something different. And just see if you can, like right now in this moment, actually lean back into that and energetically feel that all the way through your spine. And from there, going through the rest of your bones. And just seeing what it's like to be so deeply held in stability. And as you do that, it's almost like that boulder carries the rigidity in a healthy way, so you don't have to anymore. And the boulder actually knows how to do that well. That's actually part of its job. So it's medicine. But rigidity isn't necessarily your medicine. It was a way of maybe avoiding or hiding up or covering your true essence and the medicine that it carries within it. So as you lean back onto that boulder, as you lean back into whatever it is that you may have behind there, if it's not a boulder, knowing that it's carrying the weight of rigidity for you so you don't have to. Check out how your bones, your body can move and groove and how that feels inside of you. As you explore what it is to be a little less weighted down, there may be a natural heaviness or groundedness that arises through the system, which allows you to deepen into even more of a flow state, allowing things to circulate through you. And allowing all 12 astrological houses to easily cycle through and offer their wisdom when and as need be. And here, running the permissions, I honor the authentic flow of life. I honor the authentic flow of life. And you might even just meet it by saying, like, a yes to that. Giving that a slow, deep breath. We're going to tap that out here. I'm just feeling it really come off of the neck. the back of the skull, all the way down to the very base, the pelvis, the skull bone, and the pelvic bones naturally pair with each other, so it makes sense this is happening. And they also carry the bladder meridian, which carries our personality, our character. Meaning that this too gets to actually evolve through its natural death, rebirth, regeneration cycles. Breathing, receiving, and letting yourself land in you. And I know we didn't do this at the beginning, so we invite you to do it now. Locating anything that feels good, locating what feels good here inside of you now. Whether that's a part of your body, a state of being, a memory, a moment of relief that may have opened up. And allowing yourself to orient towards that and lean into that and breathe with it and savor it, savoring it, much like you might a piece of fine chocolate. And as you do so, savoring what's underlying in terms of the body's response. So, how does the body respond as you savor? And if any of that part of that feels good, savoring that too. And letting yourself rest here. I've got a song, it's about 4 minutes and 44 seconds exactly. It's about 5 minutes long by a beautiful chorus, and it's called I Am Breathing Here.
I am brave and monumental.
Thank you for that. Thank you is also in part of like a, whew, glad that song worked out. I haven't actually heard it before, but when Spotify was shut down and I jumped to YouTube, I found that one quickly and I listened to just a short snippet of it, but I didn't actually hear all of it. So I was like, oh, whoa, that song totally nailed it all today. So thank you for grace and that support of that unfolding so beautifully. And thank you to you for being here and being you exactly as you are. Thank you for bringing the medicine that you carry, each and every one of you. And thank you so much for this year. On that note, we are somehow still at a standstill, a tie. I'll flip a coin this weekend if it doesn't break, but I'm going to keep the survey open. We've only had maybe, I think, we've had an even number of votes, and not that many. I don't even think we broke double digits. So feel free to hop in there if you haven't already voted, and just pick one of the two. And then if it's not a tie, I will take the poll down on Saturday. And if it is a tie, I'm probably actually still going to take it down anyways. And then I'll just, like I said, flip the coin, and we'll decide what our next year is going to be. Okay, y'all. Thank you so much. Blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead. And if it is Easter, and I feel like it might be, happy Easter for those of you who are going into that. You don't need to re-vote. You can just additionally vote. So I'm just keeping it open. So it's the same poll. So you don't need to re-vote, but just anyone who hasn't voted, please hop on there and vote so we can get out of this tie. Okay. Thank you all. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Happy Wednesday and blessings on your week until we meet again. Bye for now, loves. I'm gonna stop the recording.